All right, Canada and Mexico don't count in this little survey, just for right now. Have you been to another country? I mean, like overseas, whole nother culture? What was that like? You probably heard about the Real Montana program, Resource Education and Agriculture Leadership, Real Montana. It's through Montana State Extension, and it's the first comprehensive. It's a two-year program, and man, they do a lot of things. Media and communications. They had that one in Billings. They'll do a weekend on state government. They'll do timber production. This one was in Kalispell. Oh, international trip, Vietnam. Vietnam, yes, Class 5, Real Montana, just returning from their trip to Vietnam. We'll talk about the program and what they observed overseas today on Voices of Montana. Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Real Montana, the program that's been going on, I think this class 5, so you're looking at 2 years, maybe 10 plus years ago. We'll kind of get the background on that too, but all the stuff that they got going on. Again, it's a two-year program, so they go through a lot of different aspects of, well, basically, you know, an education here in Montana for resources and agriculture, timber production, livestock production. They go through a hard rock mining weekend. They also, you know, like I said, team building. And this international trip, this one is just like, wow. And they go a lot of places. We'll talk about how you become, you know, part of this program if you're interested and what the value of that is. But let's welcome some guests as they are right back from a trip to Vietnam. Tara Becken is the Real Montana Program Director. Good morning, Tara. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us today.
You got any jet lag?
I think we're getting caught up now, but it was quite the trip to the other side of the world.
I bet. Chris Anderson from Sun Mountain, Class 5 member and controller, network administration for Sun Mountain, and also the Rialto Community Theater. We'll talk about that as a board member, and the Western Wood Products Association. Chris, how about you? Got jet lag still?
I would say a little bit still, Tom. Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been tricky getting used to our time change. We had spring forward an hour over the weekend, and then we had 12 hours different, basically, when we were in Vietnam. So it's been quite a bit to catch up on.
Weston Merrill, too, is also a Class 5 member and marketing officer at the Montana Department of Agriculture. Good morning, Weston. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Love you guys being here today, too, and we'll get some impressions about this trip to Vietnam. First, Tara, Tara Becken, the program director, why Vietnam?
You know, we look at the international travel component of the program as one of the key leadership components for Real Montana. So just international travel in general allows the class to experience another culture, to learn about ag and natural resource industries, to see how Montana commodities fit into the global marketplace. And it just allows the class members to push out of their comfort zone. So that's kind of the idea behind why we travel internationally. As we started to select the destination for Class 5, we looked at a variety of different countries, and we just felt that Vietnam offered a very well-rounded itinerary. There's a historical component there. They have a lot of agricultural and natural resource industries. They have a lot of different types of growing seasons, and it's just a very wide variety of commodities there. Plus, they're a market right on the cusp of change. And so there's a lot of opportunity for Montana commodities in Vietnam.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll ask Chris Anderson. It wasn't the Riviera. It wasn't the Mediterranean, so to speak. What were your thoughts when you learned that Vietnam was your international destination?
So for me, it was quite interesting because we started the class a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half ago. And as soon as I found out we were doing an international trip, I told the class right away that, hey, wherever we end up going, because it was always a surprise from the get-go, wherever we end up going, I'll try and learn the language before we go. Well, flash forward to about a year ago, in March of 23, we're in Washington, D.C., and we did a little bit of a tour of D.C. and got to find out that we were going to Vietnam. And I remember thinking, holy cow, I'm going to have to learn Vietnamese the next year to fulfill my promise to my class members. And so It was quite interesting. I learned as much as I could during that time frame. I'd say I can speak about as well as a two-year-old, so basically not well at all. But it was just exciting to find out that we were going to something quite a bit different than what we were all used to.
Hey, Weston Merrill, how is Chris Anderson's Vietnamese?
I would say, to give himself a little more credit, he did well and was able to help us navigate a few of the simple tasks that everybody takes for granted, you know. Please and thank you. How much? How, you know, what's this? What's that? Where's the bathroom? Those types of
things. Right, yeah, yeah. One for me and one for my friends.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Weston, with the Montana Department of Agriculture, all right, your marketing officer is there. So your thoughts about Vietnam probably went right to, you know, that aspect. What kind of products and what similarities and what differences? What was your thoughts and what did you pick up?
I was very excited because Vietnam's really come on the radar and buys an increasing amount of Montana commodities, wheat and lentils being some of those. And so I was excited to learn more about that country as its economy is on the rise. I mean, it was also, I wouldn't say concerning, but definitely on my radar that it's still a communist country. So, you know, that played a lot into what I thought about the country. And was really thankful and surprised when I got there that, you know, it really is it's got what the was described to us as the it vibe as far as a market for U.S. ag products.
Ah. Tara, again, back to Vietnam a little bit more. Southeast Asia country, it's a low middle income country with a pretty low cost of living. Of course, people recognize Vietnam from the late 60s, mid 60s until the early 70s. We were at war there. That war lasted 20 years. And it was very much the scene of, I think, culturally it was, well, us against them. It was the communists versus the capitalists, that played out there. Do you still, I want to ask this question, there's a lot more to talk about too, but do you still see that when Americans come to Vietnam, do you still see the presence of that lengthy war?
You know, Tom, we were surprised. We were welcomed very warmly by the Vietnamese people. We did not feel any animosity from them really throughout our entire trip. I think to them that the presence of Americans shows, you know, a turning of the tide in Vietnam. With Americans comes tourism, comes more dollars, comes the opportunity to break into a higher income bracket. And so I think to them, they were happy to see us there. We do have a long past in Vietnam, but we did not feel any animosity whatsoever. And we were just really pleased with how warmly welcomed we were into the country.
What did you want your group to take away from this?
You know, we want the group to take away from this trip an opportunity to broaden their horizon. We sometimes get into our own silos here in Montana and in the U.S. and often forget that there's a great big world out there. And so our goal with these trips is to simply show the class that there is a big world, and oftentimes we get one track on our own operations or our own commodities. And so this really allows them the opportunity to broaden their horizons and see the world.
Chris Anderson, again, with Sun Mountain Lumber Company. They're based out of Deer Lodge there. We'll talk about an upcoming public event that they have.
I would say the exact, almost echo exactly what Tara was just talking about, was how warm and welcoming they were. It's great to see a country where we did have some animosity through the 60s and 70s, and it was a very high tension time in America, and obviously in Vietnam, but to go back there and see them just happy as can be to have us there. Our guides were fantastic. They showed us around. They showed us stuff that you might not see off the normal beaten path. And to meet locals, we had one local lady take us in as part of our tour, that we sat down at her table. She taught us how they would normally make lunch. We made lunch for ourselves in her home with her family, and they were extremely happy to have us and grateful for the opportunity to share their culture with us.
And Weston, you probably have a similar experience as well. What kind of, when you came back and your friends and family and loved ones asked you, you know, what was this trip like? What did you tell them?
Yeah, I told them that same review as far as how we were received from the Vietnamese people, very warm, And I told him that it's definitely a place that is worth visiting in the future. And kind of reaffirmed the expectation I had, as they are a market that's starting to buy more and more U.S. ag products, that I see that trend is only going to continue.
I have a list here of some of the activities that, you guys went through, and obviously you would, you think it's fairly scripted. Tara Becken, again, who's the program director for Real Montana, why don't you talk about shaping this trip and the things that kind of stood out for you when you thought about spending how many days you spent there?
Absolutely. So we knew we wanted to have a well-rounded trip to represent a wide variety of natural resource industries. The makeup of Real Montana is similar in that we have folks from ag, from mining, from timber, from refining. And so we knew we wanted to include as many different industries as possible while in Vietnam. And I think we definitely achieved that. We saw everything from a worm farm to a rubber plantation to a large hydroelectric dam. We really covered the gamut. We hiked through the forest. We rode bikes through the rice paddies. And so we were very immersed in the Vietnamese culture, and we really wanted to make sure we provided a well-rounded opportunity. It was so interesting to see that the average farm size is only 0.7 acres, which is smaller than most people's yard in our class, yet they're managing to feed quite a few people, and it's just a different way of production. But we find that agriculture people, farmers and ranchers, are farmers and ranchers the world round. They welcomed us onto their place, very, very genuine and hospitable, and so we were just very pleased with to see that they had many similarities to the American producers that we're visiting.
Yeah, and Chris Anderson, I want to ask specifically about the wood products industry there. What's your take?
It's very exciting over there, Tom. Just recently, I was speaking to some colleagues that work for Clearwater Paper down in Lewiston, Idaho. Right now, Vietnam has just become the number one producer of prefabbed wooden products. When I say that, you think of the shelves and stuff that you buy at IKEA and Walmart, even Home Depot, all of that prefab kind of shelving and furniture, tables, chairs, all of that stuff. They are the number one producer in the world. So it was quite interesting to see a little bit of that going on. We didn't get to do any in-depth tours over there, but you could see the use of how they were doing it, and you could see the trail kind of as we went through other areas of how they've gotten to that position.
Yeah. And Western Merrill, I don't want to pin you down. I know that you work for the Montana Department of Agriculture, but you know, when you think about some of those initial reactions to what you had seen in Vietnam, maybe it's some of the way they're doing it. I mean, rice doesn't necessarily have a future in Montana, does it?
Yeah, right, correct. No, and that's what makes Vietnam an exciting market, is we've got complementary, we produce complementary things, right? So they are not going to grow wheat, and we're going to grow a lot of wheat, and they're going to use it, right? I mean, they eat a lot of noodles and a lot of pasta-type dishes. And then conversely, like, we're not going to grow rice, you know, in Montana, right? We do have our U.S. rice production, but inevitably the consumption is higher than what we can produce. So those types of things are exciting to see, because it makes for a trade environment that is exciting.
Recently arrived back in the States from a trip to Vietnam as part of Real Montana Leadership Program. It's resource education and agricultural leadership from Montana State University Extension. It's a two-year, and it's comprehensive. They look at education and training in communication, state government, federal government, spent some time in Washington, D.C. there, you know, crop production, timber production. They've got livestock, hard rock, mining, and then this international trip. They still have the energy tour and graduation upcoming, and so we'll talk about this program and how people can maybe get involved. But this international trip just wrapped up, and they're back recently from Vietnam. Tara Becken is with us, the Real Montana Program Director. Weston Merrill is with the Montana Department of Agriculture and a Class 5 member, as is Chris Anderson from Deer Lodge, Montana, and the Controller Network Administrator for Sun Mountain Lumber. And you guys, thanks for being here. We have a little more time, so we'll get into some things that I think are interesting. Tara, I'm gonna toss it to you, because there's a lot of, you know, as you plan this trip, so to speak, I note some things in here, and I kind of made a little you know, light about it, but the water puppet show, things like that. I mean, you try to catch everything, but you know, it's you want to get the feel, the culture. You really want to be, every man in that culture in Vietnam. So, what else stands out to you from some of the things that you guys did there?
Sure, Tom. You're right. We do try to immerse the class into the culture of the country that we're visiting. We do some things like the water puppet show. Weston mentioned that we did a cooking class with a local resident. But when we look at these, we really want to ensure that we're providing a well-rounded program. And one way we do that is by getting out of the cities, leaving the tourist destinations, and really diving into local agricultural operations and meeting producers. Here in Montana, we often have a monoculture on our farms and ranches. I'm a beef producer. I'm a wheat farmer. But as you leave Montana and travel to these small-scale farms in Vietnam, you see that there is so much diversity on those operations. We had an opportunity to visit some small-scale farms near Ho Chi Minh City. And Weston, could you explain a little bit about what they did on those worm farms and the diversity of operations we saw near Ho Chi Minh City?
You bet, Tara. Yeah, the worm farm was definitely interesting. It was an operation that took place under the shade in an orchard of a rubber tree orchard. So, you know, kind of like a double cropping, right? So utilizing that space that wasn't that's just sitting dormant underneath those trees, and in that environment, having cool and shade environment, this worm farmer rented the ground, and I can't even remember the exact numbers of how many he produced, how many, you know, pounds of worms he produced, but it was fascinating to learn the challenges he had with freight, just like we're used to freight challenges here in Montana with getting our supplies or getting our crops to market, the freight challenges he had to bring in the compost for the worms and things like that. So it was super fascinating and kind of the ingenuity that he used to be productive and to make his operation successful.
Yeah, so he was just a kind of a small businessman, a small worm farmer, I guess you would say. What did they use the worms for?
It was feed. It was animal feed, was it not, Chris? Can you remember?
Yeah, it was. So what he talked about is they bring in the waste from the pork producers and the beef producers, mix it in with some soil amendments, and then the actual worms themselves went out to the aquaculture industry, as in fish and shrimp and quite a few other things. After the worms were done with it, then the soil they would in turn reuse, take it back to their vegetable and fruit farms to be put back into the soil and reused. And so they take the entire process full circle and do a great job of including everything top to bottom with little to no waste.
Excuse me, that's a great lesson for us here at home as well, because we have such an abundance, I think, in this country of resources, and I think we forget to economize in that regard. Chris, what was the highlight for you?
Oh, man. All of it was top-notch. I would say one of the better times was the day that we mentioned, or Tara mentioned, riding through on pedal bikes the rice fields outside of Hanoi. The whole group got to hop on pedal bikes with no gears, mind you. It's a nice flat area, so you didn't need a geared pedal bike, but still it was an interesting ride. It took us about an hour one way. We rode through the rice paddy fields, got to talk to a lady that was actually out working in her field. She was plucking out the larger sprouts to in turn take and replant into a field. So that, like, when they first plant, they kind of just put everything all together. As the bigger ones develop and mature, they pull those out, pull them to another field to let them finish off and finish growing. From there, then we went on to a Buddhist temple that we got to climb up through. And when I say climb, it has three different levels built into a cliff that was quite interesting to make a whole lot of steps going up and down. And then from there, we climbed back down and rode back through the rice paddies fields again. And it was a really great example of nature and people interacting without seeing a blurred line, basically. It was everything together. It was awesome.
Wow, cool. Weston, I don't want to pin you down. Like, your highlight was the worm farm. So what was a highlight for you?
I for me, especially with my job, we went to the U.S. consulate and sat down with the head of the Foreign Ag Service right there in Vietnam while we were in Ho Chi Minh City, and got a great overview from Foreign Ag Service and U.S. Commercial Services about the economic situation in Vietnam and the growth and the upside potential of everything that they're doing and their economy as it grows and the demand for high quality U.S. ag products from their people. That, from a work prospect, from what I do at the Montana Department of Ag, that was very interesting, and it's just exciting to see another emerging market for Montana products.
Yeah, very, very valuable information and experience. Tara Becken, what would be your highlight?
I think my highlight was probably the day we spent in the small village. We went to a market, and the class was broken into small groups, and they were each assigned 5 items to purchase in the market, and they were told what the items were in Vietnamese, so they had no idea what they were looking for. They had to go out and interact with all the vendors and find these 5 items at the vegetable market that we would then use to prepare our lunch during the cooking class. And so it forced everyone to work together to try to find these 5 mystery items. Some people came back with exactly the right things, which were cucumbers and tomatoes and a potato. Some people came back with things that weren't even close. But it was really a great team building opportunity, and it allowed us to organically interact with the people in the market and just see how they live and walk through. They have raw meat hanging on hooks. They have vegetables and fruits and everything you could imagine laying out there in their wet market. And so it was a great opportunity, and I just really enjoyed seeing the class learning and exploring and building together as a team.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Anderson, tell me a story behind, I only got a minute here, but tell me a story behind one face that you remember right now.
I want to add to the previous follow-up to Tara's highlight as well. Talking about my 2-year-old level of Vietnamese, it was not helpful in that market. My group did not win. It was,
really?
It was quite interesting.
I thought you would have a leg up with that.
I thought I would too, Tom, but it did not help me whatsoever. I would say one of the top faces was talking about the lady that let us into her house. Yeah. It was amazing to sit down with her and see how she runs her house and the farm and interacted with us. It was interesting story of her life that she met her husband in an English speaking class and then see her interact with us. It was amazing to see something like that if you just went as a generic tourist, you would just never be able to see.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Talking with members of Class 5 Real Montana, the Resource Education and Agriculture Leadership Program from Montana State University Extension. Tara Becken is with us, the Real Montana Program Director, Weston Merrill, who works with the Montana Department of Agriculture, marketing officer there, and then Christopher Anderson from Sun Mountain, and also a board member of the Rialto Community Theater there. And I know they've been doing some work there. But back to returning just recently from Vietnam with things like, take a boat on the Mekong River and visit fishing farms. And Tara, I like this one too, the Blue Dragon Foundation. You visited this foundation, and it's one of those foundations that care for Vietnamese children and families in crisis there. They're battling human trafficking and slavery in Vietnam. What was your experience at the Blue Dragon Foundation?
Well, with each class, we try to include a humanitarian component, something that we can do to help others while abroad. And so for this class, we decided to go to the Blue Dragon Foundation. As you said, they They rescue folks out of human trafficking. Oftentimes it's young girls sold as brides.
Yeah.
Also, there's been a large uptick in people that are held captive in call centers. So some of the calls you receive on your cell phone are actually people that have been trafficked and are required to make a certain number of calls a day, held as slaves effectively. And so Class 5 visited the Blue Dragon Foundation, and we actually took an entire suitcase full of things with us, primarily English games and educational materials for their school, as well as some toiletries and clothing and that type of thing for folks that have been rescued for their human trafficking center there in Hanoi. So it was a great opportunity to provide something to someone abroad, because we do have so much here in the U.S. We're very blessed. And so we just try to ensure that we include that humanitarian component when traveling on our trip.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, too. I think that's important. We have to understand the cultural differences and, how we treat the poorest among us. I think that tells an awful lot about our culture. Christopher Anderson, again, with us as well from Sun Mountain Lumber and Western Merrill, Montana Department of Ag. I'm going to have you talk about the Real Montana program a little bit. And then Chris and Weston, I'm going to ask you guys why it's of value to you and why you're in this program. Because, Tara, as I understand, it's a two-year commitment.
That's correct. Real Montana is a two-year program. And we've spent a lot of time today talking about the international trip, which is a very important component of the program. But it's important to note that there are 9 other seminars throughout the two-year program. So we start in Bozeman and learn about team building. We travel to Billings, where we do an intensive media and communication seminar. We go to the state capitol, where we learn about state government in Helena. We spend a week in Washington, D.C., learning about federal policy. Along with that, we also spend a day in Gettysburg, learning about leadership lessons from Gettysburg. We focus on crop production in Great Falls, timber production in Kalispell. We go down to Dillon to look at livestock production. We just returned from our hard rock mining seminar in Butte. And then we wrap it up learning about energy in eastern Montana, where we'll travel from Billings clear out to Sydney, where we'll go on some oil rigs and travel back to Billings here in a couple of weeks for our class five graduation.
Cost $3,500 for the 2 years. Tell us what that includes. And then I've got to note, there's a lot of really good Montana companies that are backing you guys. They're sponsoring these programs.
Absolutely. So Real Montana is a public-private partnership between Montana State University Extension and private industry. We rely heavily on our private industry sponsors. They're really who makes the program work. Without their generous support, this wouldn't be possible. Real Montana does cost $3,500, and that tuition fee covers all expenses while you're at seminars. So everything from your meals to your hotel rooms. It covers your flights to Washington, D.C., and your meals and hotels while there, and then the entire international trip. So it's really a great value at $3,500 per person. We have some scholarships available if you're a member of the Montana Stock Growers Association or if you're a member of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. They offer some scholarships if you would like to apply for those. And we also realize that this is a great value because of our private industry partners. We estimate it costs almost $20,000 to put one class member through the program. So at $3,500, it's a great value for the high-quality intensive leadership training that you receive.
And we get to ask Chris Anderson and Weston Merrill about that. You guys are on sort of the tail end here. You've got another energy tour, and then you've got graduation upcoming in May. Congratulations on being through it here. And I know it comes on the heels of COVID. There was probably a lot of things that you dealt with. But Chris, what's your experience? Why is Real Montana right for Christopher Anderson?
It's been an amazing leadership experience. One of the best days, I would say, was I was in Billings with you, actually, on the Voices of Montana.
Yep.
My first time being on the radio, it was you and Chisholm Christensen.
You killed it. You killed it. You absolutely killed it, Chris. So good job. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate
it.
And one of the big takeaways, and just listening to him a little bit ago on an advertisement as part of this show, was Taylor Brown. He's a big backer of this program. And one of the things Taylor told us quite early on was lean in. Don't be afraid to say yes to things. Don't be afraid to involve yourself. Don't be afraid to give it your all. And that's really stuck with me. And I think a lot of our class, we all give each other flack when we're taking a picture or doing something. We'll all say, oh, come on, just lean in. Remember what Taylor said. And I think that applies well in life, that don't be afraid to take that extra little chance, take on something new and exciting, and it'll lead you places that you never expected to go.
Oh, I love that. Tell them Taylor sent you. Weston Merrill, how was it good for the Weston Merrills of the world?
I would say Tara said the word value, and I know it you know, there's costs, right, with this program. There's also cost like time commitment. It's really difficult. Mm-hmm. I apart from my responsibilities at the Department of Ag, I ranch just north of Billings, and time away is difficult. And that's one of the biggest things I see as far as commitment goes. It's a challenge for people that want to get involved in the program. But for me, if you want to level up your leadership, you want to level up what you can contribute to your industry, this program is that's what it did for me. And then most importantly, the relationship building with members of other industries, natural resources and mining and all of those industries, that relationship building is invaluable. I have a cohort now of leaders from all of those industries that I can call on if I need something or if something's going on and we share the same types of, you know, regulatory challenges or issues or, you know, like transportation, you know, you'd be surprised how much it affects, you know, everybody and in a lot of the same ways. So having that relationship building is what made it invaluable for me.
Yeah, Taryn, I'm going to have you comment on that too, because you look at the list, this is class five, so to speak, but you look at the participants here and it's a long list of names that people will recognize as policy leaders and industry leaders. Nancy Schlepp is on here, Nicole Roloff, Bridger Malum, Mike Honeycutt. I mean, the list goes on and on, so to speak. I guess that's part of the beauty of this as well, as to what Weston was talking about.
Absolutely. Real Montana just creates a network across the state of all natural resource industries and some of Montana's best and brightest. Someone recently said to me, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. It's just how you use those 24 hours that really makes a difference. And we know that Montana is facing a crisis in terms of leadership. We know 1 in 13 people have to lead in the state of Montana in order to fill all of the positions we have available through boards and local leadership. So we need people to step up and be leaders for the state of Montana, and we especially need people to step up and be leaders for agriculture and the natural resource industries. Our state is changing, our country is changing, and so we need strong leaders to step forward. And we believe Real Montana is what's going to make those leaders and what's going to provide that training for folks to step into a new generation of leadership and to really use their skills to lead Montana and make a difference.
March 31st, deadline, right? Or does somebody want to weigh in?
You beat me to it, Tom. I was just about to say the exact same thing. Okay. Did we mention it well that Class 6 is coming up? Tara's probably the best one that can explain how soon it's coming up and what Class 6 can expect.
Tara, go ahead.
Absolutely. We're currently recruiting for Class 6 of Real Montana, and the deadline to apply is actually March 31st, so coming right up. The application is online. If you visit our website, montana.edu/realmontana, you can find everything you need to apply online. And we just encourage you. We know that time is short and it's difficult to make these commitments, but it's definitely an investment into yourself and an investment in the state of Montana. And we encourage everyone to just look online and apply. And we're looking for Montana's best and brightest. So we hope to see many new applicants for Class 6. Again, the application deadline is March 31st.
And do a web search, Real Montana. It's montana.edu/realmontana. Well, when you're in Vietnam, wear red, they say. That's considered kind of lucky in the culture there. But don't wear shorts, short shorts especially, or crop tops. It's inappropriate. No public displays of affection. It's another thing. These folks had to learn that because they spent a few days there. Class 5 members of Real Montana. Welcome back to From Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Tara Beckin again, Real Montana Program Director. Weston Merrill with the Montana Department of Ag, and also Christopher Anderson from Sun Mountain. Chris, I got to go to you before we run out of time here as well. I noticed you guys have your third annual partnership meeting on May 16th. That's open to the public. So folks get a hold of Sun Mountain to get involved in that. As you guys go through that meeting, I want to ask, what are some of the issues that your industry specifically is facing and maybe ways to tackle it?
Sure, Tom. It's coming up May 16th. If you are interested in attending, you can call 406-846-9460. You'll be able to talk to Brandy, and she'll get you signed up. We provide a free lunch for everyone who attends, catered lunch. The biggest issues for us are environmental issues, and I think that's common across all of the natural resources industries in Montana. It's how do we collaborate with groups outside of our own that may not have the same point of view, and how do we come to a conclusion that best helps everyone? And so we have quite a few of our sessions on that day talking about how we make that happen and how we can all work together and make a better world for everyone.
Yeah, solutions oriented. Western Merrill, How about Department of Ag?
Yeah, in our shop, specifically in my shop, we have some exciting opportunities coming up for our pulse crop exports. Our largest market in Latin America is Colombia. We're going to a big food show in Bogota, Colombia in June, and we'll be doing a little pulse promotion tour throughout the rest of the country, cities like Medellin and Barranquilla, where we'll be promoting branded Montana pulse crops.
Oh, that's interesting. Why Colombia?
Colombia is our largest market as far as in South America, in Latin America. And we have a branded marketing campaign that has been in part funded by the Specialty Crop Block Grant from USDA and our very own Montana Pulse Crop Committee to promote Montana pulses. The branded campaign is called Hola Montana. And it's consumer-oriented and importer-oriented branded pulse crop marketing for the state of Montana.
All right. I've got like about a minute and a half here. Christopher, I'm going to go to you. What's your pitch for people to join Real Montana? What do they get out of it?
Man, it's been an awesome opportunity, Tom. We, over the last 2 years, almost 2 years, we've learned anything and everything there is to do with leadership. If you want to build yourself, build your company, build your community, and you are related to the natural resources industries in Montana in any way, it's a fantastic opportunity to build a network and learn how you can better yourself, better your company, better your community, just like I was saying. There isn't a program in Montana, and maybe I'm going a little bold, there isn't a program in Montana that's better than the Real Montana program. They bring some heavy hitters to the table when we're in our sessions that we get to hear from and learn from, both in terms of speakers and some of the big names that you mentioned just a little while ago that have already gone through the program. They teach us things that you would never even think of as ways to help better yourself and your community.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Out of time, Weston, unless you got 10 seconds for a pitch.
Level up. If you want to level up, Real Montana is the way to do it.
Like that. Tara Becken, May 4th, a fundraiser so people can get involved in another way.
Yes, we have a fundraiser coming up along with our Class 5 graduation, May 4th, the Billings Depot. If you're interested, you can get tickets online. Shoot us an email, realmontana@montana.edu. We'll be happy to provide you some tickets, and we hope to see you in Billings on May 4th.
Thank you guys for leaning in and moving us forward in these important directions. It's always going to be a part of our culture here in Montana. Weston, Christopher, Tara, good job. We'll see you guys down the road,
Tom. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on local stations all across Montana.